I'm David Yates with the Frontier Flyer podcast for Monday, June 8th, 2026. We've got a couple of sweepstakes, a runway fatality to talk about, an MMA fighter on a late night flight to Chicago, $199 pass that's changing who shows up at the gate. So let's get into it. Start things off this week with the CEO, because the CEO sets the tone for everything else we're going to talk about. James Dempsey took over as the permanent CEO on January 7th of this year after longtime CEO Barry Biffle was forced out in December. Dempsey had been at Frontier for more than 10 years before stepping up to the CEO role. Back in February on the Q4 earnings call, he said something you almost never hear from an airline executive, quote, "The status quo is not acceptable," end quote. He was talking about cancellations. In 2024, Frontier canceled 2.3% of all their flights. That was the worst cancellation rate of any major U.S. airline, according to Department of Transportation data. The worst on-time performance, too. Dempsey's plan has four pillars. Number one, right-size the fleet. Number two, cut cost. Number three, reduce cancellations. And number four, build loyalty. Now, that's an important one to keep in mind, building loyalty. The fleet piece is interesting. Frontier entered into a non-binding agreement to get out of 24 aircraft leases early, cutting their fleet down to squeeze more utilization out of the planes that they decide to keep. The target is 11 and a half hours of daily utilization per aircraft by the summer of 2027. That's up from about 9 hours last year. The schedule change is the one that matters most for those of us with the Go Wild Pass. Frontier is starting to add flights now on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. And their thinking here is instead of cramming everything into that Friday through Sunday peak travel window and then having the planes just sit midweek, that they spread capacity across the week. They have fewer peak day overloads and more midweek inventory. Now, if you have a Go Wild Pass, it looks like you're going to get a lot more options for the days that actually work. Midweek travel has always been the move on Go Wild, and this should make it even better. The company lost $137 million last year and came into this year having briefly stopped selling flights past April. That triggered bankruptcy rumors that Dempsey publicly called categorically untrue. Now, whether the schedule fix translates to actual reliability, we'll have to wait and see. But the acknowledgement that the old approach isn't working is, at a minimum, a different signal than what Frontier sent under Barry Biffle. Frontier is installing first-class seats. Let that sit for a second. The product is built around a Komoda seat from an Italian seat maker. They go in the first two rows in a 2x2 layout, replacing the standard 3x3 configuration. The seats are wider by 4 to 5 inches compared to the rest of the plane. And they don't recline. They're fixed at what Frontier calls a pre-reclined angle. Now, Frontier announced this partnership back in April of 2025, and they originally planned to install seats in the fall of last year. According to the company, supply chain delays across the global aviation industry pushed that to spring of this year. Dempsey confirmed on the Q1 earnings call that the rollout is going to happen through next year. So here's the pitch. First-class comfort, Frontier prices. It sounds a lot like what Spirit did. The description is premium economy geometry without service. There's no lie flat. There's no meal. There's no dedicated boarding lane with a velvet rope. Complimentary upgrades for gold status and above in Frontier miles. Here's a question nobody in the press release will answer. Does anyone actually want a first-class flight on a Frontier flight? Well, I say yes, and here's why I think this might actually work. Frontier's model depends on the extra revenue that they get. Bag fees, seat selection, add-ons. First class is another line on that menu. If they can sell two rows at a meaningful premium over the upfront plus on every flight, well, that's reoccurring revenue on every departure without having to add a single extra flight. The passenger buying it is not going to be expecting Delta One. They're going to be expecting some more room and no middle seat on a 2-hour flight to Vegas. Whether the supply chain finally cooperates and you actually see these seats on your next Frontier flight is a very different question. Well, we all mourned when Spirit Airlines shut down completely on May 2nd of this year. All flights were canceled, effective immediately. Don't come to the airport was the message. And Frontier moved fast. On the May earnings call, Dempsey confirmed 9 new routes and 15 additional daily departures across 18 former Spirit markets: Detroit, Orlando, Las Vegas, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Fort Lauderdale. I think Detroit may be the most interesting case. Frontier formally requested terminal space in the Warren Evans Terminal at Detroit Metro. That's the space that Spirit previously occupied. They have already restarted service on some key Detroit routes, including Fort Lauderdale and Las Vegas, and they're planning on increasing capacity in July. For Go Wild pass holders in the Midwest, this is good. If Frontier cements Detroit as a low-fare hub, that airport becomes one of the better launching points for the pass, particularly for midweek travel to the Sun Belt. They also launched some new routes this spring: Dallas-Fort Worth to Newark, Fort Lauderdale to Washington Dulles, Orange County to Dallas-Fort Worth, Nashville to Las Vegas, and they're flying that starting June 11th, four times weekly, with introductory fares starting at just $89. These were announced in March as part of their summer expansion package. And the timing with Spirit's collapse is not a coincidence. Frontier says, hey, this is just general network growth, though. Dempsey has been direct on the competitive dynamic. He said on the earnings call that the overlap between Frontier and Spirit has dropped and that Frontier is best positioned to absorb those markets given its cost structure. What this means for fares is a harder question. Spirit was the price floor in a lot of their markets, and with them gone, Frontier doesn't have to chase a $29 seat anymore, and that's going to be something that we have to get used to. The early data is suggesting that the rock-bottom fares have softened, and the competition that kept that ultra-low pricing honest is now gone. The 2026 Go Wild Summer Pass launched in April at $199. That's the lowest introductory price ever. They also included a referral fee, although I haven't gotten mine yet. I had two people buy off my referral fee. The pass covers travel from the time you activated all the way through September 30th of this year. If you missed it, that's 5 months of unlimited flights for $200. I think the math can work out if you fly twice, assuming that you're not checking bags. The catch is that Reddit and the Facebook groups are fighting over these early booking fees, and I've had a few spats on the Go Wild Pass Holders group on Facebook myself. Jacob and I have sparred about it. I bought the Go Wild Pass during a time when they had the early booking window a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago. So for me, that is how it's always been. It's always had early booking at times. But the Go Wild Pass before that had always required last-minute booking. You book the day before for domestic or 10 days out for international, and that's the core trade-off for unlimited travel. Frontier recently came back with that early booking option where you can lock in flights ahead of that window for an additional fee. And if you look at the community discussion, the fee structure scales by the travel date from nothing on a Tuesday or a Wednesday up to higher amounts on the weekends and then even more for peak holiday dates. So on one side of the debate, early booking is worth it for travel that matters. This is me. You're paying for certainty on a product that was built around uncertainty. And even with the fees, the pass is still a bargain. I've booked some great flights with it, paying the early booking fees because I definitely wanted to be on that flight. And there's another side, and I see it too. The pass was sold as unlimited. Every fee that the base price adds erodes that marketing. And at some point, you're paying pass plus price plus booking fees, and you're getting something that looks more like a fare sale than the Go Wild Pass. And I think both sides are right. The pass is a good deal for travelers who can flex. It's great. I mean, the time that the cash price is the highest on a flight is when it's close in. You know, look at American, look at Delta, you look at United, look at Southwest. If you want to look on Thursday at a flight for the weekend, a flight that you could have booked a couple of months ago for $80 is, you know, $300 or more. So both sides are right. The pass is a great deal for travelers who have that flexibility. The early booking fees are a product change that affects the use case. Frontier's official position that the fees are optional, and that's true. Now, whether you feel optional when you want to visit your parents for Thanksgiving is a completely different question. There's been talk on the forums about taking a Go Wild flight with the hope that you'll be bumped. I talked about loyalty at the beginning, and this is something that's interesting. You know, I'm 3 years now as a Diamond Elite, and I am just as susceptible, maybe more susceptible on a Go Wild flight to being bumped than somebody who has no status or doesn't even have a seat selection, because they have to pay a multiple of what you paid if they involuntarily bump you from the flight. Well, when you pay 1 cent, it's a pretty good deal for Frontier to bump you, even if you're a Diamond Elite, which doesn't do much to build loyalty. So people are talking about booking flights that you think will be oversold just so you can be offered flight credits to get off the plane before they start involuntarily bumping people. And I don't know that this is worth the effort, to be honest with you. All right, let's talk about that Denver runway incident. We just not mentioned it. You know, on Friday night, May the 8th, I'm sure you know the story, at approximately 11:19 at Denver International, a person scaled the perimeter fence and walked onto runway 17 left, right as Frontier Flight 4345, which was one of the A321neos, was in takeoff roll, headed for Los Angeles, 231 passengers and crew on board when it struck the trespasser going about 146 miles an hour. The pilots aborted immediately. The plane caused a brief engine fire, which ground crews extinguished, and all 231 passengers evacuated safely, even though some idiots brought their laptops and their bags and stuff. Give me a break. Unfortunately, the person on the runway did not survive. The medical examiner in Denver ruled the death a suicide. The CEO of the airport, Phil Washington, said the ground sensors detected an alarm at 11:10 and that an operator initially saw a herd of deer just outside the fence and didn't spot the trespasser. And by the time they identified what had happened, there were 2 minutes between the alarm and the impact. The airport CEO Washington said a gulch between the fence line and the runway put the person out of camera view. The NTSB has said it would review the passenger evacuation, but it would not investigate the security breach. The FAA opened a separate investigation for that. Oh, man. I mean, this is vector one speed. We've got a near-miss abort. This is just terrible. I think the pilots did a great job. They made the right call, obviously. The ground crews responded. The passengers got out. The question, I think, is why a major hub airport has got blind spots in its perimeter monitoring, and that's one thing that's going to have to produce some changes at Denver and probably now at some other airports. On the night of May 31st, Frontier Flight 3345 from San Juan, Puerto Rico to Chicago O'Hare had been in the air about 45 minutes when a passenger identified as 51-year-old Juan Gabriel Reyes allegedly became disruptive in a way that went well past being an annoying seatmate. According to the Miami-Dade Sheriff's Office, Reyes choked an off-duty flight attendant, then tried to force his way into the cockpit, tried to open the emergency exit door at altitude, and then allegedly tried to urinate on the bathroom floor. The crew diverted to Miami. One row ahead of Mr. Reyes sat Josh Longgood. He is a former professional MMA fighter and has a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He said he saw what was coming before it escalated, and he decided to intervene. He restrained Reyes and kept him controlled until the plane landed at Miami International just before midnight. The police boarded immediately, arrested Reyes, and then the flight continued on to Chicago a few hours later. Talking to CBS News Chicago, Longgood said, quote, "I just didn't want anyone to get hurt. So, you know, it was my duty to do that," which is pretty cool. The airplane physics, let's talk about that for a second. If you try to open a door on an airplane that's airborne, it is literally impossible. They've been designed that way. At cruise altitude, the pressure differential between the cabin and the outside is about 8 psi across the entire door surface. And that literally creates thousands of pounds of force that holds that door into place. There is not a human being alive or dead that can overcome that. Flight attendants know that. The problem is the fear that it creates in the cabin is real. Now, I didn't know that before this happened, and I did a little bit of research into this. And man, if I'm up front now, I will let that dude go nuts trying to open that exterior door before I get involved. Now, as soon as he heads for the cockpit or does anything to make that bathroom inoperable, because I need that bathroom, then I'm going to get involved. And I will tell you what I started doing, and this is not a hack I've seen online anywhere. It's a hack I started doing about 3 years ago. I just added to it. Around my water bottle, when I bring an aluminum water bottle, I have duct tape wrapped around that water bottle. Because I've been on flights where the window rattles or the seat tray won't stay up very well. Or if you go on a cruise, you'll have something that rattles or moves. Or in a rental car, wherever it is. If you need something stuck, fixed, or to stop moving around, duct tape is the thing to do. So I wrap some around my water bottle. So I've always got a little bit of duct tape with me. Well, now I have quite a bit of duct tape wrapped around my water bottle because if we don't have a U.S. Marshal on board or somebody with handcuffs, I'm going to duct tape that dude, and I may duct tape him to his seat. I may just duct tape his hands and his feet together and hog tie him on the floor. I don't know what it is, but if I've got an MMA fighter on the flight with me, you can bet we're going to figure out something very interesting. FBI got involved. They're investigating. Reyes faces a misdemeanor battery charge. So that's pretty interesting. Let's talk about the promos real quick. We got two sweepstakes in 2 weeks, and they should tell you something about where Frontier's marketing brain is right now. On May 27th, Frontier and the American Humane Society launched a sweepstakes offering dream vacations to American Humane certified zoos and aquariums. That includes a grand prize of round-trip flights for four and a four-night all-inclusive stay in Cancun, as well as a behind-the-scenes marine animal encounter. That sweepstakes runs through August 27th. And then on June 2nd, we got what they call the Frontier Lawn Care. It's a Go Wild Summer Pass and a $100 TaskRabbit credit for professional lawn maintenance. There will be 10 grand prize winners and 90 runner-up winners getting the TaskRabbit credit alone. I mean, someone's going to win. Why not you, right? The tagline is, the only thing better than enjoying endless trips over summer vacation is enjoying endless trips while your chores are done for you. That runs through June 14th. Frontier's marketing angle in the wildlife sweepstakes leans into their animal tail livery. Every Frontier plane has a different animal on the tail, many of them threatened or endangered species. The director of brand marketing for Frontier said it's not a secret how much they care about wildlife at Frontier. It's interesting, though, that they're running two summer sweepstakes in a period when the airline is managing Spirit refugees when they've had a runaway fatality, a mid-air diversion, and debate about their pass fees. I think sweepstakes are pretty cheap in the grand scheme of marketing spend, and they're there for social content primarily. I like the American Humane Partnership. It's nice. I think the lawn care bit's a bit absurd in the way that it gets attention without being offensive. But if you hold a Go Wild Pass into the sweepstakes or book a flight, but I think they're kind of boring. All right, what else do we have this week? I don't think we have a whole lot left this week. We'll close things up. That's the week in Frontier flying. Dempsey is on the schedule. We've got new seats coming to the cabin. Spirit's routes are going to whoever moves the fastest. We've got the summer 199 pass. We had one fatality this show at Denver. And we had one MMA fighter who had a row-ahead view of someone who did not understand how airplane doors work. So we'll see you next week. Frontier Flyer on the air and on your podcast. We'll put the links in the show notes to anything we think might be important. Until next week, I'm your host, David Yates, the Frontier Flyer.